the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God? Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king, and all the people rejoiced and said, God save the king, long live the king, may the king live forever. Amen. Alleluia. I'm sure many of you have sung Handel's famous music for the coronation of George II, the words adapted from the first book of Kings. Solomon is the successor of his father David, and it is after his anointing and at the beginning of his reign that we meet Solomon today in these readings. The wisdom of Solomon is a phrase still used today, even by those who would struggle to know who Solomon was or where you might find the book of Kings. And it is wisdom which I think marks out the three readings that we have heard this morning. So if I was to offer a title for the sermon, it would be The Wisdom of the World or The Wisdom of God. Hopefully by the end of the sermon, you will decide. Was Solomon's wisdom of God or of the world? The reading from Kings begins, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I should give you. The settlement of Gibeon was the central sanctuary for the Israelites. At this time, the Ark of the Covenant rested in Gibeon. And so Solomon has gone to Gibeon to offer worship to the Lord following his anointing. Jerusalem is yet to become the main sanctuary, a move which occurs during Solomon's reign. So the young king is given an alluring offer from God. Ask what I should give you. What would you like? Solomon displays remarkable humility. He displays a concern to govern with sensitivity, honesty, and integrity. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? When asked by God, what would you like? The young ruler, a bit like Jesus in the wilderness, being shown all the kingdoms of the world, might have been tempted to take God at his word and frankly take what he could, what's on offer. But no, remembering the faithfulness that God had shown to his father David, Solomon requests what all leaders, including Methodist superintendents, should be requesting: an understanding mind. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. And so the wisdom of Solomon endures to this day. Now, if your mind is drifting towards modern day leaders, and I'm not trying to suggest anyone in particular, and you are thinking, wouldn't it be good to have a dose of sensitivity and humility and integrity in the midst of an international crisis? I'm afraid Solomon is not quite the virtuous king described in this passage. In fact, it is probably his acquisition of riches, wealth, and power focused on Jerusalem that leads to the spectacular collapse of his kingdom after he dies. Israel disintegrates into north and south. He does, in fact, demand the life of his enemies, executing his elder brother, who, one might argue, had a more legitimate claim to the throne. Yes, Solomon is famous for building the temple in Jerusalem, which we all remember. But Solomon built other notable monuments, the Milo being one. The Milo was probably a kind of terracing. Maybe such terracing was for onlookers to watch military parades, the horse guards parade of its day. Maybe the crowds watched the army that Solomon had expanded, which guarded the newly fortified towns, which he had insisted upon. And there were other, what we might call, vanity projects, such as a royal palace. These demonstrations of political power in grand designs were built with forced labour, both Israelites and foreigners. The biblical narrative in our passage suggests a leader of great humility and discernment, who asks not for the world's glory, but for God's riches. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. But the reality of Solomon, though, is somewhat different, as I've suggested. And eventually, the biblical narrative finds Solomon drawn away from God and into idolatry. And the Hebrew scriptures, in their wisdom, constantly warn of the risk of being drawn to the worship of other gods and away from the God of Israel. It is ironic that the one remembered for being wise ends up following the wisdom of the world rather than the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God? I guess we've all decided that we've done all sorts of things during the lockdown period. Maybe you've taken up new hobbies or read new books. I decided to read one of the classics during lockdown, and living just round the corner from one of Charles Dickens's former homes, I chose his first novel, Pickwick Papers. It's not as bleak as some of his later work, so I thought that might be better for lockdown reading. But amidst its humour, it seeks to develop an understanding mind about the society of its times and of human nature. Pickwick and his friends seek wisdom through their experiences. Mr. Pickwick contrives to get himself locked down in a debtor's prison. His purpose, as in the rest of the book, is really to observe human life. Of the prison, he says, the whole place seemed restless and troubled, and the people were crowding and flitting to and fro like the shadows in an uneasy dream. I have seen enough, said Mr. Pickwick. The lockdown we have seen has sometimes appeared restless and troubled. Those living in food poverty have found their need has increased. The Trussell Trust food banks report an 89% increase in provision during April compared to this time last year. Food parcels given to children in that time rose by 107%. I heard this week an account of a mother who was begging at a supermarket not too far from here for food to feed her family. There is still the disturbing discrepancy in the loss of life due to COVID by people from a black and minority ethnic background, a pointer perhaps to gross inequalities in society. I know of a man who was supported in a flat by the council to enable him to move off the streets. My concern for him and many like him is how long will that support continue, which was introduced during COVID to enable self-isolation of people on the streets? Or will people that are homeless simply go back to where they were some 3 or 4 months ago? The pollution decrease from fewer cars and flights gave the earth a breather. We could literally smell the wisdom. And all that non-essential shopping we didn't realise we don't need to do. Will the push from government to refuel the economy forget the climate and tempt us into acquisition again? Is it wise, both financially and sustainably, to return to a pre-COVID economy? In a letter from many leading Methodists I've read this week, many would suggest it is not, and seek a different kind of wisdom for the future. I agree. But the equation is far more complex. If I were a worker in the aircraft industry, or hospitality, or retail, my job would depend on refueling the economy. It would depend on people travelling into London, or indeed abroad. I have seen enough, said Mr. Pickwick, in some desperation. Perhaps the wisdom from our lockdown is that we have seen and observed some uncomfortable truths. The wisdom for the way forward is less than certain. The wisdom of the world, or the wisdom of God? Perhaps it is in the gospel that wisdom might be found for our crisis. A mustard seed planted seems unpromising, but look at it grow to nest birds. If I had time, I would explain the symbolism of the tree sheltering the oppressed and providing room for people beyond one's own religious community. I can't predict how many of our anonymous groups will return to Hind Street, but evidence suggests people suffering with addictions pre-COVID have found the lockdown particularly difficult. Shelter and room for people finding post-life lockdown a struggle seems to be the wisdom of an understanding mind, which Solomon desired. Seems to be a post-COVID priority for the church's mission. And then a woman hiding a small amount of yeast in a huge amount of flour, unpromising, but the yeast changes the dough. The church council this afternoon will look at whether the Wednesday Club, amongst other groups, can reopen on a limited and controlled basis. Wednesday Club can offer hope to people who might have struggled during the lockdown or fear what will happen after it. The wisdom of Wednesday Club might lie in that small amount of human contact some people will need, but which over the last 4 months we have all discovered is more essential than we had realised. It's a different sort of wisdom than to go shopping for non-essentials. And Jesus offers these parables to suggest how his disciples, maybe few in number, might be significant in his kingdom might learn the wisdom of his riches. A small amount, almost imperceptibly hidden, the wisdom of God can seem like impossible odds. And yet Paul's wisdom is this: we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. In all the challenges that might be thrown at our discipleship, he writes, I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wisdom indeed. If we discover this kind of wisdom of God, if we have really observed what has happened during lockdown so that our outlook has changed, it will be like finding treasure in a field, or maybe a pearl of great price. We might need to sell everything we have to buy it. In other words, our post-COVID church might look very different, and it will cost us. But then, at this point in our Christian lives, in the life of the world, we are being asked the same question as Solomon. What would you like? The wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God?